Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this wonderful morning, O Lord. We thank you for adding one more day into our life. As we have come together in your holy sanctuary to worship you, to adore your holy name. Father, you bless each one of us as we reflect upon your word. Father, we ask you to speak to our hearts and empower us with the power of your word and fill us with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Among four canonical gospels in the New Testament, John's gospel stands unique in its narration and presentation of Jesus' life and ministry. The centrality of John's gospel is the incarnation of Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel begins with a saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Chapter 1, verse 1. And again, John says in verse 14 in the same chapter, "The Word became flesh and lived among us." So John's focus throughout this gospel to emphasize the divinity of God based on his humanity. That is a whole concept of John's gospel. I am sayings of Jesus are found only in the gospel of John. In all these sayings, Jesus is using different metaphors, tangible metaphors that are familiar for his audience to convey the gospel or to convey self-revelation and his relationship to God, the Father. There are seven I am sayings are found in John's gospel. The first one, "I am the bread of life," John chapter 6, verse 35, 41, 48, and 51. Again, "I am the light of the world," John 8, 12, and 95. "I am the door," John 10, 7. "I am the good shepherd," chapter 10, verse 11 and 14. "I am the resurrection and the life," John 11, 25. "I am the way and the truth and the life," John 14, 6. And here, "I am the true vine," John 15, 1 and 5. The symbolic speech based upon the vine and vineyard are also seen in other synoptic gospels. All these parables have a common factor. So wherever the vine and vineyard are used, the persons connected with wine or vineyard are representing Israel. The wine imageries are also used by the Old Testament prophets while they addressed the Old Testament Israels to convey the divine oracles. We can read in the book of Isaiah chapter 5 verse 1 to 7 and in book of Ezekiel chapter 19, in Hosea chapter 10 verse 1 and Jeremiah 2 and 2 and so on. So many references are found in the Old Testament where the prophets using the wine imageries addressing Israelites. And there, the God chosen people are known as God's vineyard. The prophets calling Israelites as God's vineyard. So calling or addressing Israelites as God's vineyard, it has a very deep meaning. The word vineyard has a very deep meaning because it shows how important and how unique and how precious they are in the sight of God. Here in this gospel, John's gospel, Jesus says, "My Father is the gardener," or is a wine grower, or is a farmer. So when Jesus says, "My Father is the gardener, or the wine grower. And when the Old Testament prophet says the Israelites are God's vineyard, only a gardener or a farmer knows the pain and struggle to grow up or set up his own vineyard. It's really, really a tiresome job. So when Jesus says that my Father is the gardener, or when the Old Testament prophets calling Israelites as God's own vineyard, the listeners, they really understand the depth of that word, because the wine and vineyard are very much closely related to the life of ancient Israel, even today. Usually, the farmers choose a mountain slope to set up their own vineyard, where they get enough sunlight and morning dew. As we know that the Palestinian region comes under the tropical climate, the rainfall is very less, so they always depend on the morning dew to grow up their crops. Once the land is selected, then at first the stones must be gathered in the land, and it will be utilized for construction of a protecting wall. And the farmer will wait for a rainfall. After he receives a rainfall, then he must plow and clear the entire land. He must plow the land thoroughly and clear the land, removing all the weeds, and will prepare his vineyard, start to prepare his vineyard. After the land is clear and plowed thoroughly, then the farmer started planting the wine shoots. He has to select the best wine shoots, and he has to calculate the distance between each wine shoots, and he carefully plants his wine shoots. The farmer has to spend whole day working in his vineyard. After planting the wine shoots, every day he has to inspect the growth of each wine. He needs to walk around his vineyard, looking after the wine shoots, giving them enough water, proper manure, and also he has to cut off dead branches and dead leaves. Every day, from morning till evening, this farmer works very hard in his vineyard. It takes 2 to 3 years for the wine shoots to grow up to a matured wine. All these days, all these years, this farmer working very hard. And after 2 to 3 years, and in a fine morning when the farmer gets up from his sleep, he smells the sweet fragrance from his vineyard, the fragrance of vines of blossom. Then he will run to his vineyard, seeing his vines are in blossom. His heart will be filled with joy. He will be jumping up and down, seeing that my years-long labor was not in vain. My wine is going to bear fruit, and I'm going to have a good yield this year. And this is going to support my family. I can find my livelihood from this vineyard. He will be rejoicing. Not only he, the entire family will be rejoicing, seeing the vines in blossom. And at the same time, there are some other people, some other groups, they are also rejoicing, smelling the fragrance of the wine blossom. Who are they? The first group, they are the thieves. Thieves living in the village. They will also rejoice deep in their heart, thinking that, oh, There is a vine blossom somewhere near. Let's wait for a couple of weeks. After that, there will be enough grapes in the vineyard. The night we can go and steal the grapes, and we can steal the wine from the wine press. They are also rejoicing deep in the heart, the thieves. And the another group, the wild animals, those who are living nearby bushes, the foxes, jackals, the wild boar, the wild rabbits, they are also rejoicing deep in their heart because they think, oh, there is a vine blossom somewhere near. After a couple of weeks, we can have sweet grapes. The fox and jackals will be thinking, okay, let's go to that farmer's vineyard at night. There will be enough wild rabbits coming to eat the grape. We can eat them. They are also rejoicing. And another group is the birds in the air. They are also rejoicing. Okay, let's wait for a couple of weeks. We can have enough sweet grapes from this farmer's vineyard. And this farmer, he is aware of this danger. He knows there are thieves waiting to grab fruits from my vineyard. And he knows there are wild animals around. They are waiting to destroy my vineyard. What he will do? From that day onwards, this farmer will work hard day and night to make a strong stick fence around his vineyard. A very strong stick fence to protect his vineyard from thieves, trespassers, from wild animals. Not only that, he will put up a watchtower in the middle of his vineyard. From that day onwards, he will be sleeping in that watchtower, even in the night. So that's the way a gardener or a wine grower takes care of his vineyard. So Old Testament prophets addressing Israelites as God's own vineyard is just reminding them, how did God bring them up from their bondage, from their slavery, from their struggles, from their pain? How did God work for them? But when we look into the text, we see the Old Testament Israelites, whom the prophet addressed as God's own vineyard. They failed to please God. They failed to bear good fruits. The expectation of the gardener, the farmer, or the wine grower, that my vineyard will give me good fruit. But the Old Testament Israelites, they completely failed to please God with good fruits. Rather, they disappointed him, yielding wild grapes. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1 following, there we read something like this: I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest wines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a winepress as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it when I have expected it to yield grapes? Why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. This was the oracle of the prophet Isaiah to ancient Israel. So what happened to the house of Israel? Why did God curse them? God chose them as his own vineyard, but here the prophet says, I will judge them. He says, I will break down its wall and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned. And it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. So why did God curse his chosen vineyard, his own people? Only because they fail to abide in Yahweh. They fail to abide in God's commandment. They fail to abide in God's law. After God have planted them as his own vineyard in the promised land where the honey and milk flows, after they settled, after they became a great nation, they slowly forget God. They forget God who brought them out of Egyptian slavery. They forget the God who fed them throughout their 40 years of desert journey. They forget God who quenched their thirst in the wilderness. They forget the God who rescued them from the hands of their enemies. They forget the God who was with them, the cloud of pillar and the cloud of fire. And they began to live by their own. They began to yield for their lust. And they forget God's commandment. They forget their prayers. They forget their songs. And God says, I will break them down. They were cursed. And this morning, my dear friends, I just want to remind you that we are the branches in God's vineyard. You and I are the branches in God's vineyard. We are planted in the part of this world. God has planted you and me as a vine in the part of this world to bear good fruits for our master, for our gardener. Our enemy Satan is always trying to destroy us. He's always trying to uproot us from this vineyard, God's vineyard. For the last so many years, even today, he is trying all what he can do to fail us, to disappoint us, to humiliate us, to uproot us from God's vineyard. But God has fenced us. God has fenced us with the precious blood of his only Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why we are still strong and alive. Don't forget that. Enemy wants to uproot you and me. He's always trying. But God has fenced us with the precious blood of his only Son. Every day we are in his arms. Every day we are protected. That's why we are still alive today. And here Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me. We need to abide in Christ. Remain in Christ. So we are planted to bear fruit for the gardener, for God. Are we bearing fruit? Are we producing fruit as the farmer expects, as our gardener expects? What kind of fruit we are producing, we are bearing? We need to examine ourselves. The gardener also doing something in his vineyard. That's again we say, here we read. The gardener removes every branch that bear no fruit. He removes every branch that is fruitless, that is useless, and they will be thrown into the fire and burned. That's what here Jesus says. If you are not bearing fruit, then we will be removed from the vineyard. We will be cut off, chopped off. Then again, here says, those who are bearing fruit, they will be pruned to make it more fruitful. The branches that are bearing fruit will be pruned to make it more fruitful. Pruned. That's also an act of the gardener. Sometimes we will be pruned. Pruning is always a painful thing. Why the gardener does that? Because he wants to see that we are more fruitful. There are three kinds of vines are mentioned in the Bible. Three kinds of vines. The first one, the choicest wine. Choicest wine is the best one, the best wine. The best one among the all wines is the choicest wine. Sweet and tasty. Fruits are very sweet and tasty. Even they are used for medicine. That is the choicest wine. The best among all wines. Then the second one is the wild wines. The wild wines, they bear wild grape. They looks like wine, grape. The fruits look like good grapes, but bitter in taste. No use. Only the outward expression looks very gorgeous, but it is bitter in taste. No use. And the third one, that is the wine of Sodom. Wine of Sodom is mentioned in book of Deuteronomy chapter 32. The wine of Sodom is a venomous wine. Very venomous wine. The grapes look so beautiful, so big, so attractive. But once you eat, you will be killed. It is a venomous wine. So you and I are planted by the gardener, God the Father, to bear the fruit. What kind of fruit we are going to bear? Are we the choicest wine? Or are we the wild wines or the Sodom wines? What kind of fruit we are bearing for our Master? If we want to remain as the choicest wine, the best, we need to abide in Christ. We need to abide in His law, in His word. And Jesus says, I am the true vine. You are my branches. We need to abide in the true vine, our Lord Jesus Christ, to bear good fruit. The Father, the vine grower, the farmer, He has protected us, even protecting us, even today, with a great expectation that this vine will bear good fruit. May God help us and bless us to bear good fruits for Him in the days to come. Amen.